Your mind is in a state of readiness, so listen well. To make yourself complete, you must find your soulmate.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast even crazier than the seventh inning of Game 5 of the 2015 Rangers-Blue Jays ALDS. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and joining me today are Dan Hypebeast McQuaid.
I spend all the money I make writing on hoodies and expensive sneakers. I can't imagine losing this game as a result.
Luis El Jefe Paez Pumar.
I came here to exploit workers for profit and play trivia, and I'm all out of workers.
And David Benny Agbayani Roth.
A lot of people probably don't even remember who that is, but if you did remember it, it would be extremely intimidating.
Well, hello to everybody, and a huge thank you for being back here for our Season 2 Battle of the Podcasts. Today is the second match in our Hired Goons division with three special guests from over at the new website, Defector. Helping me out today for our game is going to be Score Master Dan. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have the guys from Defector here, but I'm actually very excited about the after party. You see, Dave got a whole cask of my favorite Amontillado, and he says he's going to take me down and show it to me right after the game.
Normally, Dan, I'd be offended that I wasn't invited, but you two go have fun with that one. I'm gonna sit this one out. And working the boards today is Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave. Oh my God, Dave, thank you. That is so, so kind of you to say. I really appreciate it. All right, well, we've got three rounds of pop culture trivia for our players today, but we're going to start it off with a game of My Champion. That's the game where each of our contestants has chosen their own champion from the world of pop culture, but we get to choose the battle that they're fighting. Video and multimedia editor at Defector, Dan McQuaid, who is your champion today?
My champion is Homer Simpson.
Excellent. And you can see this next guy over at Defector's Twitch channel. It's Luis Paez Pumar. Luis, who have you chosen as your champion?
So I've chosen Vivi from Final Fantasy IX.
And from Defector's The Distraction podcast, David Roth, who are you championing today?
Detective Harry Bosch, Los Angeles Police Department, Hollywood Homicide.
Excellent. Champions are locked in. Production Master Dave will serve as our judge today. So without further ado, let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, who is going to win the chili cook-off? Dan, why is Homer Simpson going to win the chili cook-off?
So Homer Simpson knows all about chili because of the episode where he eats Chief Wiggum's powerful pepper chili at the Springfield chili cook-off. So obviously, because he's such a food aficionado, he, and having that nice kitchen in his house, he can easily make all the chili that he wants in Springfield. And yeah, I don't see how he loses.
Thank you, Dan. And Luis, how about Vivi from Final Fantasy IX?
This is kind of unfair because obviously Vivi is going to win as a black mage who can control fire, so he can kind of regulate the temperature. And also, his adopted grandpa was a gourmand chef, so I think Vivi has picked up some tips and tricks. And maybe most importantly, he has anxiety throughout the entire game and really wants to please his friends, so I think he'll customize the chili for whoever is judging him.
Right on. And David, how about Harry Bosch?
I mean, a lot of this is just about, it's about not getting rattled when, you know, the clock is ticking and the expectations are high. And that's Harry Bosch. That's Harry Bosch every day. And I would say also that while most of what we know about him is, you know, what he does out in the streets to help keep people safe and sometimes break the rules in doing so, that some of that does translate to the kitchen. First of all, breaking the rules. A lot of chili contests is really like sort of rigorous restrictions on what ingredients you can use. Harry's not going to do that. He's about flavor and he's about results. And so I think that that's probably one that he would follow basically his own instincts as opposed to the bylaws of whatever chili cook-off. And then also as a bachelor, he has a lot of experience cooking male-coded food items. And I think chili absolutely qualifies as that.
Thank you, David. Awesome arguments from all three of our players. But ultimately, it's up to Production Master Dave to determine a winner.
Thank you, Taylor. First, I need to point out that the My Champion game works on a double-blind system. The contestants do not know what the category will be, and we do not know who their champions will be when everybody picks their thing. So we had no idea that Homer Simpson was going to come up for the chili cook-off. So at first glance, you might think that is a slam dunk, but I am here to say that perhaps Homer Simpson is a consumer, not a creator when it comes to chili. He was walking around the chili cook-off with his tasting spoon, so he was ready to eat but not compete. So we have to then move on to Bosch, and I do appreciate that he is Bachelor Supreme on television right now. I will say that I'm not quite sure if the high-pressure aspect of Bosch really works with a slow-cooking stew. I'm not really sure that skill is going to come in super handy. But at the end of the day, I really got to say, when you got a black mage coming into the competition, who can pretty much do whatever he wants and is motivated by his own anxiety and his need for acceptance, it's got to be VV for this one. So my champion winner today is VV.
Good job, Luis.
Thank you.
You've won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Earning the half point can give you that competitive advantage that might break a tie before it even happens. Here is your completely separately conceived from your champion selection half point question. Having consumed a good number of Guatemalan insanity peppers, Homer Simpson has a little trip and meets a space coyote voiced by this famous musical artist.
I am the worst person to get this question because Simpsons are a pop culture blind spot for me. So Prince is going to be my guess.
Your mind is in a state of readiness, so listen well.
That guy.
It's not Prince.
Yeah.
No, as we heard at the top of the show, that is Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Well, you may have missed the half point, Luis, but that means you still get to go first in round one, Drops of Stupider. All too often, the creators of movies and TV have the same instincts about pre-existing music selection for their on-screen entertainment. Sometimes you just need that perfect song, even if it's been used before. In this game, I'll give you three movies or television series that all use versions of a popular song as a needle drop or have it performed by characters on screen. You identify the name of the song in question. For instance, if I said Easy Rider, Problem Child, and Herbie Fully Loaded, you would know that the song featured in all three of them is...
Born to be Wild.
If you need a hint, I can tell you the original artist of the song and the year of its release. If you want another hint, I can play you a short clip from the song you're guessing. After you answer, I'll ask you a follow-up question about the on-screen use of a different song by the same artist. 15 points for the initial song title, but 5 points fewer after each hint you ask for. 5 more points for getting the follow-up. Luis, as the winner of My Champion, you get to lead off this round.
Let's do it.
What song is featured in Mystery Men, Shrek, and Rat Race?
This feels too obvious, but I'm just gonna guess it to start off strong. Is it All-Star? Hey now, you're
an All-Star. Yeah, Smash Mouth's All-Star. But Luis, before the ubiquity of All-Star, two other Smash Mouth songs, Walkin' on the Sun and Can't Get Enough of You Baby, were featured in this 1998 high school comedy.
I don't know if I know this, but I don't think this is a high school comedy. No, I don't know. I'm gonna pass on the follow-up.
That 1998 high school comedy is Can't Hardly Wait. Can't Hardly Wait has those other two Smash Mouth songs. But still, 15 points for All-Star. Moving over to Dan, looking for the song featured in Stepmom, Remember the Titans, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh, can't believe he got All-Star, and I have to do this one. Yeah, I knew that instantly. I will take a hint.
The artist is Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye from 1967.
Oh, it's I'm blanking on the name of the song. I'm really embarrassed.
You could just start singing some of it, and maybe the title will come to
you.
I can do the Tammy Terrell part if it would help you.
Can you do that anyway?
I don't think it's going to come to me.
Do you want the last hint? Is hearing a clip going to help you?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no, darling. No way. No way.
Yeah, Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
All right, Dan. Marvin Gaye's cover of I Heard It Through the Grapevine plays over the opening montage of this 1983 ensemble piece.
Ooh, okay, so 1983. So that's going to be like an ensemble piece. So Heard It Through the Grapevine. I'm going to say 16 Candles. No.
Luis, you know this one?
I think it's The Big Chill, right? Yeah.
Yes, the opening credits of The Big Chill.
My parents like to listen to that cassette during long car rides.
Oh, it lived in my family's car for my entire childhood. Absolutely. All right, David, what song is featured in Watchmen, the 2009 Zack Snyder film, The Graduate, and Arrested Development?
With Watchmen, the first place your mind always goes is the incredibly cursed Leonard Cohen scored sex scene, which I believe takes place in a spacecraft of some kind.
Oh, it does.
I don't think that this is that song. So I'm going to say The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel.
The sound of silence.
So I do need to step in before we do get angry calls from Watchmen fans. It is not a spacecraft. It is the Owl Ship. So it cannot go into space. Not a spacecraft.
Yeah. All right, David, you still get a follow-up. Simon and Garfunkel's rendition of the Peruvian folk song El Condor Pasa features heavily in this Reese Witherspoon movie.
Oh, I know that. Speaking of like Roth family vacation car ride jams. So Reese Witherspoon movie, is it? I'm forgetting the name of it. The one about the Cheryl Strayed book. Dang it, I'm real close, but I don't think I can land it.
Luis?
This was an answer on Jeopardy this week. It's Wild.
Wild, all right.
All right, coming back to Luis. What song is featured in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, The Sandlot, and Baby Driver?
Oh, God. I was just thinking about Baby Driver recently. I will admit, I haven't seen The Sandlot in like 20 years, and I don't think I've ever seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but hold on. I know. But I can figure this out. Hold on. What song was it? Can I get the artist?
The artist is The Champs. From 1959.
Oh, that doesn't help me.
Luckily, there's only one song in Baby Driver, so easy to narrow it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do the clip. Unless I am mistaking it for another song that sounds like that. Is that Tequila?
Tequila.
For 5 points, Tequila, yes. Now, Luis, The Champs had very few other top 40 singles besides Tequila, but the most lasting of them has got to be Limbo Rock, a vocal version of which was recorded by Chubby Checker and used in this John Waters film.
I have no idea, so I'm going to very quickly say I love the video of the guy doing Tequila at karaoke.
I saw that happen in real life once at a bar.
Oh, I'm sure that was life-changing. Amazing. But yeah, I do not know.
David?
Is it, I'm guessing because all John Waters movies seem the same to me, but is it Cry Baby? Oh.
No, it's The Nice One. It's Hairspray.
Oh,
Hairspray
yeah.
has Limbo Rock. Mm. Over to Dan. Dan, what song is featured in Say Anything, Deadpool, and The Righteous Gemstones?
Okay, so I'm not, maybe this will make your viewers very angry. I'm not a fan of the Marvel movies. Deadpool is a Marvel movie, right? I'm not crazy there.
It's the edgy one.
So yeah, he's like wisecracking. It's the dude from like Two Guys, a Girl and a Pizza Place, and he's like,
that is how I think of Ryan Reynolds as well.
I will never think of him as anything but that. And I've never seen The Righteous Gemstones, but I know that Say Anything has In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel in it. So that's my guess. In your
eyes. Sometimes you only need to know one of them. Yes, that is In Your Eyes. All right, Dan, Peter Gabriel's Big Time plays over the opening credits of this 2010 Oscar-winning documentary about the 2008 financial crisis.
Is that documentary called The Big Short as well? I'll just guess that, The Big Short. No? Oh.
No, The Big Short is not technically a documentary, the Adam McKay film.
Well, no, no, I just figured it might be based on.
Oh, no. This is Charles Ferguson's documentary, Inside Job, which is great if you haven't seen it. Really good. Yeah.
And one more time, before we get in a bunch of letters, we do need to point out that while Deadpool is a Marvel character created by Rob Liefeld and Fabian Nicieza, the Deadpool movies are not, in fact, part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, until recently, of course, was owned by a different company.
So I did not realize Deadpool was a Rob Liefeld character. Okay.
All the pouches. So many pouches.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense now. Yeah.
CGI extra veins onto his arms and chest to make the film work.
All right, David, we're looking for the song that's featured in Goodfellas, The Departed, and Ford v. Ferrari.
If it's the song I'm thinking of, I haven't seen Ford versus Ferrari. It is a Rolling Stones song. Is it Gimme Shelter?
Yes, that's the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter. Now, David, the Rolling Stones' other song, Wild Horses, appropriately features in the first season finale of this animated series.
This is an answer that amuses me more than it is probably correct, but I know that there's a new version of My Little Pony. Is it My Little Pony Friendship is Magic? Sorry.
I like where your head's at with that, but here we're looking for BoJack Horseman.
That's another famous one with the horses. That actually makes more sense, I guess.
All right, for Luis, looking for the song that's in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, The Parent Trap 1998, and Christine.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to remember The Parent Trap, which I did watch a lot as a kid. Yeah, I'm going to take a hint with the artist.
George Thorogood and the Destroyers from 1982.
I mean, I'll take the clip to be sure, but now I think I know it.
Now we all have to listen to this song, dude.
Okay, that's Bad to the Bone.
I like that the clip part that you pulled sounds like the Roseanne theme.
Yeah.
We can't make it too easy.
I'm just like, I can't think of anything more Bad to the Bone than a song.
Yep.
All right, Louise. The second released single by George Thorogood and the Destroyers was a cover of One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer. Characters on this high school series performed the song in an episode entitled Blame It on the Alcohol.
I mean, I'm just going to guess Glee.
Wow. Nice guess. Circling back to Dan, looking for the song that's in Magic Mike XXL, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and To All the Boys, P.S. I Still Love You.
Wow. Well, I have not seen really any of those things. I've maybe seen an episode or two of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so I'm going to have to take the first hint.
The Backstreet Boys from 1999.
Ooh, okay. So, let's see. There's a lot of songs. I'll take the clip. I bet I can get it after the clip. No matter the distance, I want you. I should have just guessed. It's I Want It That Way.
I want it that way.
Yes, for 5 points. Now, Dan, the Backstreet Boys actually show up to perform Everybody, Backstreet's Back, in the heavenly final sequence of this 2013 comedy.
Oh, is it like, what's a movie with angels or where they go to, yeah, I don't know.
Luis knows this one?
Yeah, I just rewatched this recently. It's This Is the End.
Yes, Seth Rogen's This Is the End. Over to David. What song is featured in School of Rock, For Ragnarok, and Shrek the Third?
Can I get a hint on it?
Led Zeppelin from 1970.
Oh, all right. Yeah, because there's a scene where Jack Black sings it with a really crazy look on his face. I'm going to guess, in lieu of listening to it, that it's Immigrant Song.
Yes, for 10 points. There's also a really good special feature on the School of Rock DVD that has the entire cast and crew pleading with Robert Plant to let them use the song for the movie. And it's very cute. It's very cute. All right, David. Matt Damon, perhaps foolishly, recites lyrics from Led Zeppelin's Kashmir during a negotiation scene in this 2004 sequel.
Oh, I'm going to guess Ocean's 12.
Very nice. And on that good note for David, let's go to a score break from Score Master Dan.
All our players are doing very well so far. Dan's got 25 points, Luis is just ahead with 30, and David is in the lead with 45. He's been getting at least 15 points on each question so far, but there's still plenty of game left to go.
All right, two songs left per player, starting again with Luis. We're looking for the song that is in Chungking Express, You've Got Mail, and Sound of My Voice.
Oh my God, I don't even know two of those things. So I'm not going to stall and just ask for a hint.
The Cranberries from 1993.
I'm going to safely, I think, and if I'm wrong here, that's fine, but assume that they did not play Zombie in You've Got Mail. So I'm going to say Linger.
Dreams is the Cranberry song we're looking for there. As your follow-up, though, in the third season of this show, a character sings the Cranberries' Zombie at his desk soon after transferring from Stanford, much to the annoyance of his coworkers.
This, I don't know this, but this sounds like something that would be in Silicon Valley.
David, you know this one?
This feels like The Office, right?
Andy would be the character.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's a hilarious song to sing in any setting, especially, I would say, a workplace one.
Yeah.
Dan, we're looking for the song that's in American Psycho, Good Boys, and High Fidelity.
Ooh, okay. Wow, it's been a while since I've seen High Fidelity. I really like that movie. I will take the hint.
Katrina and the Waves, 1983.
Okay, so that's Walking on Sunshine.
For 10 points, very good.
I don't know if they have any other songs. Oh, wait, they have to, yeah.
Yeah, there's the follow-up. Aside from Walking on Sunshine, the most notable other song by Katrina and the Waves is probably Love Shine a Light, which was re-recorded and performed virtually in 2020 by the would-be participants in this canceled televised competition.
So I want to say, RuPaul's Drag Race, but they finished that. They actually finished that from thing. So I'll just say American Idol.
Luis?
I think this is Eurovision. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, Katrina and the Waves also had a Eurovision winning song many years ago. David, we're looking for the song that's in Neighbors 2, Star Trek 2009, and Horrible Bosses.
Any of those films, I'm going to have to take a hint.
The Beastie Boys, 1994.
It's probably better to just guess and be wrong than to take the hint. Wait, no, that actually sounds stupid when you say it out loud. Play me a little bit of the song. Let's hear it. Yeah, good. This is, would have been my guess. Sabotage.
Yes, Sabotage is correct. Now, the Beastie Boys' Intergalactic was a major part of the trailers and marketing for this 2019 animated sequel, but it's absent from the movie itself.
I got no ideas. Is it Into the Spider-Verse?
It is Charlie Day wildly building spaceships for the Lego Movie 2, second part. Lego Movie 2. All right, Luis, we're looking for a song that's in The Perks of Being a Wallflower, Jojo Rabbit, and Moulin Rouge.
Unfortunately, I just also rewatched Perks of Being a Wallflower, and I only have one song in my head from that, so I'm going to need the artist to make sure it's this.
David Bowie, 1977.
Okay, so it's Heroes. We can be
heroes. Yes. Now, David Bowie's Modern Love is used twice in this 2013 movie. Once is during the end credits, and once is in an earlier scene where the main character does a combination dance and run through the streets of New York.
Okay, I'm just going to guess that even though it's wrong, because I think it was also 2015, but Sleeping with Other People.
He loves that movie, though.
It's
he
so
really does.
Good. And it does play twice in that, but not... And there was like a dancing, but not a running scene, so I knew that was wrong.
Yeah, this character isn't taking drugs at a children's birthday party. It's Francis Ha is the movie we're looking for here. Francis Ha, Greta Gerwig, and Noah Baumbach's Francis Ha. All right, for Dan, looking for a song from Game Night, Shaun of the Dead, and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ooh, you know, I wanted to see Sonic the Hedgehog, and then my my wife kept telling me not to go. I live right near a movie theater. And by live, I mean lived, as I do not believe it's going to open ever again. So I'll take the hint, as I do not. I have no idea at this point.
Queen, 1978.
I guess I'll take the other hint. There's like too many. There's too many possibilities. Yeah, I don't know.
David, you want to tell us?
Luis's hand was up first. I want to be a gentleman.
No, go ahead. I've chimed in.
Oh, do it together. Wait, okay, countdown. 3, 2, 1, go.
Don't stop me.
Don't stop me now.
Yeah.
It's a terrible countdown answer, but okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I did a bag. I was excited.
Roth jumped the gun a little bit there.
All right, Dan, for your follow-up, Queen's team-up song with David Bowie, Under Pressure, has been in a ton of movies. One of them is this Charlize Theron action film that features the song in the last moments before cutting to the credits.
Ooh, a Charlize Theron action film. Yeah, I don't know.
That is Atomic Blonde. The great soundtrack throughout Atomic Blonde. And closing out round one, David, we're looking for a song from Black Mirror, Eighth Grade, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
May I hear the artist, please?
Enya from 2001.
I'm still gonna say Sail Away because that's the Enya song you'd use. Is that right?
I think we need the actual title.
Oh, well, all right. Well, at the very least, if I don't know, let's at least listen to this wonderful song. I don't think that I really know the names of any Enya songs, if I'm being honest with myself. I thought I knew one, and it seems like I know zero.
Luis?
I think it's Orinoco Flow.
Ugh. Are you guys going to work something into the show where, as a penalty, whenever something is wrong, you have to hear like just a little snatch of Enya song? Yep, there it is.
For the rest of the game, Dave Roth's wrong sound indicator will be Orinoco Flow.
Son of a come on, man.
Yes. All right, you still get a chance at 5 more points, David. Enya has exactly 1 Academy Award nomination for Best Original Song. It is for the song May It Be, which features in this 2001 movie, the first in a trilogy.
Is it Lord of the Rings? Like,
full title, please.
Oh, all right. So I have to say the name of the first movie. Having been a lifelong cool guy really hurts me. I just kind of remember it as the Lord of the Rings. I don't know. Hit me with that, Enya. Play that beat. Thank you.
Dan, what's that first movie called?
It's The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, like it makes sense that that would be what it was. I just didn't remember the names of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll wrap us up for round one. Coming up next is the score update from Dan, and on to round two.
After one round of play, it's time for the Dag Hammarskjöld score break. Dag Hammarskjöld, the second Secretary General of the United Nations, but first in our hearts. At this point, David is in lead with 50 points, Luis has 40, Dan has just 35, but that means Hilda could go first in round two.
Thank you, Scoremaster Dan. Still lots of game to go and a little extra help coming to our third place contestant. It's the Threequalizer. Dan, we've got a quick chance for you to make up some of that ground with a Threequalizer question. I'll read you a question that has exactly 3 possible answers, and you'll have 3 guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer that you match. Your Threequalizer question is: Equatorial Kundu is a fictional African country mentioned in 3 TV shows. It was first mentioned as an important U.S. ally and subject of a military operation to end ethnic cleansing. It was briefly mentioned 14 years later in another show by the same creator. Finally, in 2017, it is referenced along with Kumar in a show about the undead. What are those 3 shows?
My first guess is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh. My second guess is X-Files. Oh. I'll move a little different. I'll say Firefly. Oh.
No, those first 2 shows by the same creator are not by Joss Whedon. They are Aaron Sorkin with The West Wing and The Newsroom.
Oh.
And then that third one is iZombie, referencing those shows from The West Wing.
I unfortunately would have gotten Newsroom because I did watch that.
Always the most cursed possible option. It's incredible. And
I probably would have been able to reverse engineer West Wing, but yeah, I was going to go Walking Dead if that came to me for the last one.
Well, with that, there is no better way to get to know someone than learning a bit more about their personal tastes and fun ideas from the world of pop culture. First, we have with us Dan McQuaid, who has an interesting and perhaps controversial interpretation of a scene in Disney's Zootopia that he'd like to discuss. Dan?
Sure. So I will preface this by that I've only seen the trailer for Zootopia. The rabbit or whatever goes into the DMV and the sloth is real slow, right? And it's like a meme now, right? But like Zootopia is for kids. Why the hell do kids, like kids don't know that the DMV is slow. We are actually teaching them to hate the government. Like we're teaching them that like government services are terrible. Kids don't drive. They don't know that the DMV is slow. It is anti-government propaganda. I am not a crackpot.
I mean, it may surprise you to learn further that that movie ends up being pretty overtly about like racial profiling by police. And like, whoa, that's kind of the larger theme of the movie.
So based on that first scene, my guess is that it's pro-racial profiling.
Oh, God.
Zootopia is making new Antifa super soldiers.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dan. And Luis, what is the album of music that you've listened to the most times in your life?
Yeah, so it is the 1994 album by Café Tacuba, and the album's called Re. The reason I've listened to it the most, beyond just that, you know, it came out 5 years after I was born, is my brother, who's 7.5 years older than me, loved Café Tacuba, and, you know, I was a five-year-old who, of course, wanted to be like my brother, so we listened to it a lot. It was only, like, 10 years after that that I, you know, started actually researching into it, and it's, like, apparently hailed as the white album of like Latin rock, which is pretty cool. I mean, it does bounce around in a lot of genres. Like it goes, you know, there's like a metal song, there's like old like norteño music, there's some ballads. Probably my favorite song ever is from there. It's called El Baile y el Salón, which is the dance and the dance floor, I guess is the best translation. It reminds me of, you know, my brother, and also just a very formative piece of music. That was probably the first full album I remember listening to.
After the Zootopia answer, that was really nice and heartwarming. Thank you.
And also, it teaches you to hate the government.
And David Roth, for you, who was the first fictional character that you ever had a crush on?
This feels bad after, again, Luis gave a wonderful answer, and I have to be like, well, I first recall being horny at the age of 9. Very embarrassing. It was Jennifer Connelly in Labyrinth. That movie I found intensely unsettling. I saw it in theaters with my family. I mean, she was a babe, but also there was something about, I guess, like how weird everything was around it. I was, all my dials were like pinned in the red. So I was, I don't know, found it especially overwhelming. Never really got less overwhelming, if I'm being honest, but.
Well, I don't have a good segue from that that's not going to be super weird into round two, so we're just going to go right into round two, entitled Speaking in Tongues. Now, no, this game's not going to be about the album by Talking Heads. It's an audio quiz about fictional languages developed for film, television, and other pop culture properties. We'll play you a clip in which a fictional language is spoken, and you identify the pop culture property that the language comes from. For instance, if you heard this clip...
Acá, dos... Chota, there. Come on, pull. Chota, there. But stop. Cach.
You would know that that fictional language spoken in that clip comes from the world of
Star Trek.
Yes, with the Klingon language being spoken there. If you need a hint, I can give you a description of the scene in the clip. 20 points for an answer with just the audio clip, and 10 points after the hint. We're going to start it off with Dan. Dan, this first clip is for you.
Boyahun, Nele Terain, Dan Karmenik, Siberia Farhun, Amar Nanedoras, Orgera, Nedin Dagor, Hen Urir Othari, Natha Dagathir.
Then I shall die as one of them.
Since I'm in third place, I'm just going to take a guess. I'm going to say that that is High Valyrian or something from Game of Thrones.
Luis?
I believe that is Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Oh, that was, I had like one of two guesses that I was going to make there, and I picked that.
You can hear a little bit of Viggo Mortensen speaking English at the end of the clip there.
So. Yeah. It's Two Towers, right?
I know. Yes, at the Battle of Helm's Deep. All right, Luis, this next one is for you.
What's he saying?
What's he saying?
My father is deciding whether to kill you.
Oh my god, okay, I've seen this. Can I get the hint, please?
Neytiri is asking her father if the interloper will be welcome on Pandora.
It's Avatar. I should have guessed.
Yes, for 10 points, Avatar. David, over to you.
I don't get some like extra English. There's not like another person in there being like, "Look, everybody looks like cats on this planet." Everybody else gets that, and I don't get that.
The English again is like the name of this show is.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing based on just the audio. Oh. I'll take the hint.
The horse master is telling his new queen about how little he cares for the Iron Throne.
That helps. So it's Game of Thrones, which I've also never really seen much of, but I do know, like, you know, whatever. I'm online, so I've seen Dothraki.
Next up is for Dan.
Again, I'm just trying to come back from behind, so I will say Star Wars.
No, if you're just hearing ack, ack, ack over again, that is from Mars Attacks. Tim Burton's Mars Attacks. All right, for Luis.
What? Again, we'll not waste time. Can I get the hint, please?
These lines come from what happens if you turn this toy upside down, press its belly, or put your finger in its mouth.
Okay, so it's Furby?
Yes, the language invented for the Furby toys. That's so you can hear the really loud, like, rotors of their eyes opening and closing in the clip.
Is that a well-developed language, or is it a...
Do they have
just
past
nonsense.
Participles?
I mean, it's possible that I may have owned a Furbish dictionary at one point, but I can't say one way or the other. All right, over to David.
Arga Booney!
Ooh.
Dag, dag, bipso! Arga Booney, dutsi me!
Basu Barget!
Gescoli, and so, Dwanda.
Why does this sound like a King of the Hill episode?
That's, I know that's what I was thinking.
There's no way that it could possibly be, but I'll take the hint because it's not worth the risk.
This character is reacting to a kitchen fire that's happening while he's supposed to be checking on his kids. And because he's active in the situation, there's a green diamond floating over his head.
Oh my god. So this is like The Sims then. Incredible.
Yes, The Sims.
That's great.
All right, over to Dan. Here's your next clip.
Oof. I'll take the hint. I'll try to get it right this time and then fail spectacularly.
In this installment, Kevin is speaking to his many brethren about leading an expedition to find a new leader.
So this is Minions?
Yes.
There's a minion named Kevin?
Yeah.
All right, Luis, this next one's for you.
I think it's talking to you.
Leb
a cynic up do wearin taupe. Let's all do panic up.
Hint, please.
In a scene where Kita has just discovered Milo's team and begins to interrogate their presence in her lost community.
Okay, so my first thought was Aquaman until you said what the scene is. I don't know anything else that takes place in Atlantis, so I'll say Aquaman.
No, this is the 2001 Disney film Atlantis, The Lost Empire. All right, David, this next clip is for you.
This feels like Return of the Jedi, so I'm going to say Return of the Jedi. All right.
Yes, Jabba the Hutt speaking Huttese in Return of the Jedi, Star Wars. Well, with that, that'll take us into our score break from Scoremaster Dan.
At this point, Dan is in third place with 45 points, Luis has 60, and David has taken a commanding lead. He's now got 90 points. Still, plenty of game left to go.
All right, two clips left per person. Dan, this one's for you.
Well, again, I need to make up ground. And that sort of sounds like the snake language from Harry Potter. Hey. Nice.
Very good. That snake language called Parcel Tongue, that clip from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Over to Luis.
What in the world?
It's really...
God, I need to make up points, but I could not even begin to guess, so I'll take the hint.
In this clip, a child is giving a weather report. If you need a full translation, you may request one by mail. Sorry. If you need a full translation, you may request one by mail by writing to Box 350, Boston, Mass. 02134.
I Teletubbies.
You got the right network. That is the PBS educational program Zoom.
Oh,
yeah.
Specifically the 90s revival of Zoom for that clip. Over to David. Oh boy.
I keep listening to them like I'm gonna be able to like pick out a word and translate back, and that's just clearly not in the cards. May I have the hint, please?
In this scene, a woman reconstructed from alien genetics has just landed in a flying taxi cab, and even though the driver doesn't speak her language, she attempts to explain the great evil.
Oh, it's the Fifth Element. Wow, that's great. I honestly, you had me in the first half, I'm not going to lie, but once you said flying taxi cab, I felt like I was right back in it. So.
All right, over to Dan.
That almost sounded like Minions again, but I will take the hint.
In this scene, Nao has been captured by the Ivaka tribe, but they have not yet shown him what could be called the first human magic trick.
I wish I could even talk this out, but I really don't have any idea. Planet of the Apes.
No, the first human magic trick is the creation of fire. So that is from the film Quest for Fire. Completely invented language for use in the movie. All right, over to Luis for your final fictional language clip.
Oh, the old Malocco Plus first, would Malocco you not Plus, say? Right? He's coming to sharpen us up.
Showing a Malocco Plus.
But yeah. You especially, we have the start.
Yeah, you guys are first because we've got start on you. Yeah, Malocco Plus, eh? Yeah.
I am tanking this category. I'll take the hint. Yeah, I'll take the hint.
In this scene, the Droogs celebrate a change in leadership, though in the very next scene, Alex must reassert his dominance.
Oh, Clockwork Orange.
Yes, with the language there created by the book's author, Anthony Burgess, who also was hired to create the language for Quest for Fire. So he's got a whole pedigree. And closing out round two with a clip for David.
Hola, Zuwani, inisitsizini.
Dr. Zuwani is an educator.
Sidzidzimitui.
He is
the Hula Zuwani.
Our teacher.
Ingaitizava.
But his opponents engage in ever more ferocious acts.
Well, he sounds like a very nice man. This is knowable, but I do not know it, so I will need the hint.
In this scene, linguist Sylvia Broom is translating both sides of the political conversation between the representatives from the United States and the African nation of Matobo.
I mean, I don't know that when you're making up African nations and then having them negotiate with the United States, you're obviously on pretty risky ground there. All the answers that I have are like very obscure movies. Is this the movie called The Translator with Nicole Kidman in it?
It is Nicole Kidman, but the title is The Interpreter.
Oh, so close. I saw it, too. I could tell you more about that movie.
Close. The Translator. That's so close.
Yeah, God.
Well, on that near miss, that'll wrap us up for round two. Coming at you as one more score update from Dan, and on to our final round. Before we get into round three, it's time for the home version. Listeners correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode pops into your feeds, and you can win fabulous non-prizes like the rights to name a score break.
I had a small hit and my budget's expanded, made a Shatnery tread where Lithgow commanded, from frenetic to calm with a life-saving balm. My penguins were panned, my super film canned, then a fourth better than those that came before? The joyful new plan is to keep making more.
If you know the answer, head on over to usaquizshow.com and find the page for this episode, also linked in your show notes. Submit that answer. All right, up next from Dan is the scores heading into our final round. Dan?
Absolutely. After two full rounds of play, David is in the lead with 100 points. Luis has 70 and Dan has 65, meaning he'll go first in round three. And he'll need to get four questions correct in his category to pull into first.
Thank you, Dan. Those standings, however, not set in stone, because it's time for everyone's last opportunity for big points. It's the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as they can. 10 points for each answer you provide. 10 points for each correct answer you provide.
That's an important caveat.
Today's categories are The Dude Abides, When I Was a Womanizer, A Whopper of a Category, and The Tampa Bay Lightning Round. Now, while the names of these topics are a little bit mysterious, do your best to choose something that you're going to do well on, or perhaps try to keep something easy from a fellow player. Dan, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are The Dude Abides, When I Was a Womanizer, A Whopper of a Category, and The Tampa Bay Lightning Round.
Wow, I will do The Tampa Bay Lightning Round.
Now, if you were going to take a guess, what do you think this category is going to be about?
Florida men.
I like where your head's at, but in this case, the Tampa Bay Lightning is an NHL team from Florida, so you'll be answering questions about hockey in movies, TV, and other popular culture.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Dan, are you ready?
I am ready.
Emilio Estevez coaches a ragtag youth hockey team in this franchise.
The Mighty Ducks.
Russell Crowe co-stars with this Smokey and the Bandit star in Mystery Alaska.
Pass.
This horror movie mainstay wears a hockey mask but spends most of his time killing campers.
Jason.
In this 2008 flop, Mike Myers is trying to help an NHL player get his mojo back.
the love guru.
In Happy Gilmore, he plays a hockey player who takes up golf and gets beaten up by Bob Barker.
Adam Sandler.
This Jean-Claude Van Damme movie takes place during a Penguins game.
Sudden Death.
Bob and Doug McKenzie are hockey-loving hoser characters on this sketch show.
SCTV.
The first movie in the MVP franchise features one of these creatures playing hockey.
A primate, a chimp.
2013's Mr. Hockey tells the story of his return to the ice in 1973.
Gordie Howe.
Paul Newman stars in this 1977 film about a failing hockey team embracing violence.
Slapshot.
This American Pie actor is a semi-pro enforcer in 2012's Goon.
Sean William Scott.
This New Jersey rocker starts a women's hockey league in 2006's Pucked.
Jon Bon Jovi.
This diminutive Canadian Marvel superhero wears black and bounces around.
Pass.
Charlie trains Mac for a center ice shooting contest in a 2010 episode of...
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Perfect note to end on.
Correct, but after the buzzer. Yeah. So no points for that one. Still a strong round from Dan. Dan Cassino, our scoremaster. How did he do?
Oh, that's good.
Dan had just two passes. It was Burt Reynolds who co-starred with Russell Crowe in Mystery Alaska.
Wow.
And the Marvel superhero who wears black and bounces around, of course, is Puck. Because he's like a little guy and he wears black and he bounces around a lot. He's actually a little person. It's a little bit offensive, but they've stuck with him, so who knows? Regardless, Dan got 11 questions correct in his lightning round, a very impressive score that gives him 175 points. That means Luis is going to have to match him. Luis is going to have to get 11 questions correct if he wants to move into first place.
I will almost certainly not.
All right, Luis, your choices are The Dude Abides, When I Was a Womanizer, and A Whopper of a Category.
Let's go with the womanizer one.
Do you have a guess as to what this might be?
Rom-coms, maybe?
Britney Spears had a number one single that identified its subject as a womanizer in the year 2008. So you'll be answering questions about the pop culture happenings of the year 2008.
Oh, okay.
There he is.
90 seconds on the clock. Luis, are you ready?
Let's do it.
This Christopher Nolan-helmed sequel is the highest-grossing film of the year.
The Dark Knight.
This pop diva's 4 minutes gets featured in the movie reboot of Get Smart.
Pass.
Comedy Central re-edits earlier direct-to-video chapters of this series to air on TV.
Family Guy.
Futurama. This found footage monster movie kicks off a franchise of vaguely related films.
Cloverfield.
He airs a half-hour political infomercial that airs on 6 TV networks.
Pass.
After starring in the original, Channing Tatum cameos in this dance sequel.
Step Up 2.
He stars as John Adams in an HBO miniseries.
Paul Giamatti.
Meryl Streep sings in a musical based on the music of this group.
ABBA.
This channel moved away from gavel-to-gavel coverage and rebranded itself as True TV.
Pass.
This car returns to NBC as a black Mustang voiced by Val Kilmer.
Oh, my pass.
In honor of the recently deceased George Carlin, this show replays its very first episode.
SNL?
Sylvester Stallone and Julie Benz star in the fourth installment of this action franchise.
Rambo?
This New Mexico-based drama premieres on AMC.
Breaking Bad.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe kicks off with this superhero origin story.
Iron Man.
Iron Man right at the buzzer.
Oh, that's 11.
All right, Dan, let's get the Luis report.
We have a couple more passes from Luis. It was Madonna who sang 4 minutes that was featured in the movie reboot of Get Smart. If you think about it, who would be airing a political infomercial in 2008? Yeah, it's Barack Obama.
Oh, that felt too
nice. Yeah, I can't believe you missed that one.
Court TV rebranded itself as True TV in 2008, and the name of the black Mustang voiced by Val Kilmer is, of course, Kit, not Car, because that's the bad Kit, is Car.
Is it really called Car?
That's the bad guy in Knight Rider, is Car. Luis got 9 questions correct, a very impressive lightning round. Unfortunately, not as impressive as Dan, so he has fallen short. He now has 160 points, but Dan is still in the lead with 175. That means David is going to need to get 8 questions correct in order to move into first place.
Wow. Very, very doable, David. All right, your choices are The Dude Abides and A Whopper of a Category.
So I think I'm going to do The Dude Abides because it's either if it's about The Big Lebowski, I'm all right. And if it's about Lucas Duda, I'm even better. So,
well, you're in the right ballpark with The Big Lebowski. That ever abiding dude from that movie is played by Jeff Bridges. So we'll be asking you about the life and career of actor Jeff Bridges.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
All right, David, 90 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Yes.
In the 50s, he showed up on episodes of this underwater action show.
Sea Hunt.
Before Robert De Niro was cast, this taxi driver role was written for Bridges.
Wow, Travis Bickle?
Crazy. Bridges' one Oscar is for this 2009 film.
I gotta pass. It's a country music one.
In The Contender, his pick for vice president is played by this actress.
I gotta pass.
He has the lead role in the 1976 remake of this 1933 classic.
1976, 1933 classic. King Kong.
His 1995 turn as Wild Bill Hickok was helmed by this director of The Warriors and 48 Hours.
Walter Hill.
In 2008, he played Obadiah Stane, the nemesis of this Marvel hero.
Gotta pass.
He and Bruce Boxleitner are the only actors to appear in both movies in this Disney sci-fi franchise.
It's Tron.
This actor appropriately played his big brother on The Fabulous Baker Boys.
Oh, Beau Bridges.
He plays an alien in this 1984 John Carpenter film.
Starman.
In The Fisher King, he helps Robin Williams search for this mythical artifact.
It's the Holy Grail?
He faces off against bomber Tommy Lee Jones in this 1994 flick that's been overshadowed by Speed.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about, too. Tommy Lee Jones does like an Irish accent in it, and it's terrible. Do I get points for if I get it right?
No, not at this
point. Yeah, in that case, I won't even bother answering it. Also, I don't think I know.
Blown Away. Is
there you go.
There.
Yeah.
Blown Away, of course, knows the movie that's not Speed, the yes. other one.
All right, Dan, let's get that David report.
So David had 3 passes. It was Crazy Heart that provided Jeff Bridges 1 Oscar. Joan Allen was his pick for vice president in The Contender. And he played Obadiah Stane in the previously mentioned Iron Man.
Okay.
Come on, Roth.
That means our final standings are, with 160 points, Luis, with 175 points, Dan, and our winner, with 180 points, pulling it out in the lightning round, it's David.
David,
wow. Congratulations. What a squeaker.
Golf claps.
Good job. Yeah, thanks very much. Good game.
Congratulations, David.
Hey,
awesome game all around. But that sadly means that on the bracket, it is time to say goodbye to Dan and Luis. Guys, this was super, super fun. Thank you again for being here. I know you guys all work at Defector. So, Dan, can you tell us a little bit about Defector? Because it's fairly new on the scene.
Sure. Almost all of us who work at Defector used to work at a certain sports and culture website that we all quit last year during a dispute with management, to put it lightly. Yeah, a couple months ago, we have started our new sports and culture site. I believe it's the only one on the internet.
Yeah, I checked it.
It is a subscription website, and we would love for you to subscribe. I happen to think it's very good.
And it's also been, I think, reflective of our personal damage and weirdness in a way that I'm proud of. Like, it definitely is a site, you know, there's a lot of us. There's like 19 different people writing and editing for it. We're having fun with it. We hope that you might want to have fun with it as well.
Awesome. Thank you for telling our listeners about that. The big congratulations today are going to go to David. David, you're going to be moving on to the Hired Goons Division Finals. The competition gets a little stiffer, so what are some of the pop culture blind spots you might want to fill before you come back to play again?
I have to watch every Marvel movie.
Roth, I got you. I'll watch them with you.
Yeah, I gotta get that right. Obviously, I need to just do some brain exercises. So, because I'm not going to be able to answer like, oh, the Aubrey Plaza one, which is how all of these things are stored up there.
Well, it sounds like a plan. Listeners, don't forget to follow David, Dan, and Luis at Defector.com, and you can follow David as the steaming face emoji on our Season 2 Battle of the Podcast bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week as we fashionably dip back into the Joy Luck division with the Fug Girls, Heather Cox and returning player Jessica Morgan. They'll be joined for their game by Moana and Wreck-It Ralph writer Pamela Ribbon. You won't want to miss that one, folks. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey, listeners, remember that riddle that Dan was reading before the lightning round? If you think you know what it's about, find the link in your show notes to the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, and submit that answer. While you're there, make sure to check out all our past Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show episodes, maybe register to play on a future season, and check out all the upcoming season brackets.
And maybe you want to tell us what a great, amazing job Taylor does, because that's what we're all thinking all the time, right? If you want to do that, you can go ahead and post it to us in Instagram or Twitter. We're at USA Quiz Show on both.
I don't know what kind of weird mind game that a social media plug was, Dan, and I don't care for it.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is created with love on the Orinoco Flow by production master David T. Cole, our host Taylor Cole, and of course, our quizmaster and scoremaster, Dan Cassino.
Sail away into subscribing to this podcast.
Well, that's the one we're keeping.
We're leaving it.
Leave it, you coward.
Yeah, but we do all agree that the sex scene's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That scene alone won Best Picture that year.
Yeah.
It beat the Hurt Locker.